the court, but under the threat of punishment from a court, when we say to you, Your Honor, do not believe that until today, based on what I've read of the court's prior order, that there has been a failure by you to recognize prior to this particular situation the onus that could be placed upon the communication media and the newspapers in this town and in other towns if the concepts of the Bar Association generally are accepted. Fundamentally, as a lawyer who has represented newspapers for a long time, I have managed, I think, to stay somewhere midstream on this problem. I don't agree with some of the things which are being written by editors and other groups who are saying that there ought to be absolutely no inhibitions by injunction, even on the courthouse personnel. This I don't agree with. On the other hand, I don't agree with the Bar Association and with the friendly, nice people that you're surrounded by and every other judge. When you undertake to enjoin the people around you, and some of them talk too much, then the natural reaction of the Bar Association and all the rest are self-protected. Let's get those fellows who published. Now, the fact is, they ought to be getting their wives and everybody else in the community who repeated it. If this concept is to be applied, and I have had the experience in one contempt case in the city of Cleveland when Judge Charles White, one of our eminent common pleas court judges, found that the penalty must be imposed on the people who opened the door, and that therefore the newspapers could not be found guilty of contempt when somebody else had opened the door. Now, in this situation, Your Honor, I submit that your order, series of orders that you have altered, recognize completely this dividing line. And we plead with your court now to, if you are going to change that dividing line by saying that the order is applicable to these newspaper reporters, even though they were not named in it, that you then impose some penalty so that an appeal may be taken. Because we submit, Your Honor, that this has changed the concept of the order. And as we read the order, it very clearly made the distinction. It's true that it asked to have the orders, copies of them, delivered to the newspaper and radio station, but at the same time, it recognized clearly that this order was not an order directed to them, or I am sure Your Honor would have said so with specificity. I suggest that the present status of this matter has urgent public interest, and that there should be either a further consideration or in the alternative that, at least in the case of the reporters, action should be taken which would permit an appeal. Otherwise, we can dream down the road the judges to do this over the years and never give anybody an appealable order. Clearly, that would not be in the interest of a determination of what is the proper way in which to handle this very serious problem which you have to undertake in this entire case. Thank you, Your Honor.
Do we speak briefly, Your Honor? Point number one, we feel that whether or not Your Honor chooses to make this order final by imposing punishment is a matter totally within the discretion of the court. Number two, I think that if sentence were rendered at this time, it would tend to do what we're trying to avoid doing, and that is it might tend at this time to affect the rights of the defendant, James Earl Ray, in some way. Thirdly, the court is entitled and the defendants are entitled to have an opportunity to purge themselves of contempt or to mitigate whatever punishment is involved by reflecting obedience to the order against the verbatim, if necessary, the verbatim account of everything that goes on in this courtroom. Your Honor has said that this is where the case is going to be tried. And anything that's said in this courtroom, within the bounds of propriety and statements that are not made that are excluded as being improper for the jury to hear, may be reported by the press. So it's hard to understand how preventing the press from reporting extrajudicial interviews is going to limit the full and fair reporting of this case that occurs in this courtroom, because this case can only be tried in one place, and that's right here. It can't be tried outside or in Birmingham or anywhere else. It's got to be tried right here. Fifthly, Your Honor, the essence of Your Honor's order is self-restraint. That's what we're talking about here. Your Honor has indicated in your final ruling that Your Honor has tried to exercise self-restraint with the press by saying, I'm bound by my own order. This committee has tried to exercise self-restraint by doing the same thing. The ruling of the court suggests that all of the parties to the order should exercise self-restraint. And as far as the papers knowing what to print and what not to print, I think that's also a question of self-restraint. We're asking everyone involved, or who might be involved, to exercise self-restraint so that we can be eminently certain that this man gets an absolutely fair trial under the rules set out in Shepherd and all the other rules that apply in this case. And I think that Your Honor's actions and withholding sentence is better calculated than any other action that Your Honor could take toward assuring all of those facts.
Stated here what I think the law is, and I
Thank you.